Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. At Barah Ministries, we're pursuing the truth through the study of the Word of God. And because of the gracious provision of the internet from our omnipotent God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Barah Ministries has a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives. Thank you, Lord, for providing a way for anyone, anywhere, to be reached with your word. Well, tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day, and that is the day we pay tribute to those who have died in service to their country. There's nothing more profoundly American than Memorial Day. Throughout our history, American sons and daughters have willingly laid down their lives to strengthen the nation and to preserve its freedoms. And the greatness of this republic is founded on the selfless service of these heroes. Some of their bodies rest quietly beneath chalk-white headstones. Some of their bodies rest in the battlefield graves where they fell. And some of their bodies rest in the depths of the ocean where they made the ultimate sacrifice. Memorial Day is the time in the United States when we remember these men and women who died while serving in the country's armed forces. Yet whether it's the men and women from our country or whether it's the men and women from allied nations, we pause today to give tribute. Let's remember them and the ideals that inspired them, especially the ideal that there is something greater than self, a thought originated and demonstrated best by the sovereign God of the universe, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are no words that can ease the pain of family members who have lost heroes to the battle. Yet someone said, grief shared is grief more easily borne. And today we honor the heroes, the families of those heroes as well, as we grieve for them, for their loss. So let's honor our war dead with our opening song, which is the Armed Forces Medley, a collection of service songs of each military organization in the United States. Let us pray. Father, thank you for creating people in the image of your Son, people who are courageous enough to voluntarily put themselves in harm's way, to protect us and to defend the ideal of freedom. We're pleased to be able to remember them today and to give honor and praise to their ultimate sacrifice in defense of our nation. Let their loved ones know that these brave men and women who lay down their lives for us are not forgotten. Encourage us to stop during the Memorial Day festivities to truly remember why we celebrate this day. Bless those who are on the fields of battle today. Protect them from our enemies and give all of us the courage to stand for everything that your word holds sacred, especially life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. A few announcements. So the deacons' meeting is next week, June 4th at 7:30 to 10. The gathering of God's men is next week, June 5th after church. The next Lord's Supper celebration is June 12th, 2016. There will be no face-to-face teaching on July 3rd, 2016, so you should get that in your calendars. That's a new announcement. And no lesson will be posted. It's just a day off. The Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference will be August 5th and 6th. The New York Bible Conference will be September 16, 17. And we'll have evening lessons only, August 7th, August 21st, and September 18th. The homecoming for the non-resident congregation is April 21st to 23rd. Join me in prayer directed at the intercessions and petitions of people visiting the Barah Ministries prayer request group. Thank you to non-resident congregation members Clinton and Serena McCallum for their faithful support of the ministry. Happy anniversary to Deacon Denny Goodall and Emily, who celebrated their anniversary on May 27th. That was Friday. How many years is that now? 10. Wow. That seems like it was just yesterday, up there sweating in the in the mountains. And happy birthday to Tony LaGrasso. This must be his 60th or something like that. You think he's 60? Maybe 70? Yeah, he's an old guy. Today's Bible lesson, let God gird you against the enemy. Let God gird you against the enemy. Well, if this were the movie Grease, you might hear one of the characters shout out, "Gird is the word." Gird is the word. You remember they used to say Grease is the word? Well, maybe they would say gird is the word. Gird is a word we don't hear very much anymore. And it means to encircle yourself with protection. It means to surround yourself with power. It means to equip yourself with strength. It means to prepare yourself for action. Preparation is a word that slips the mind of most of us. We often feel we can just click into action without preparation and win the day. But I assure you, no military organization that ever is expected to win a war just would conduct itself in that way. They wouldn't just click into action. There's a tremendous amount of preparation that goes into preparing for warfare. And I assure you, the spiritual life is such a war. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit sets its desire against the flesh." In other words, the flesh wars against God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit wars against the flesh, for these are in opposition to each other. These are in warfare with each other. Well, in today's lesson, we gird ourselves for battle against the who wants to be successful against us. We continue our study of the final passage of Romans chapter 8, which extends from verse 31 to 39. Here's how it sounds. What then shall we believers in Christ say face to face with all these things? We'd say that if God the Father is for us, and he is, who is ever going to be successful in opposition against us? Romans 8:32. God the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but instead delivered him over for us all, how will the Father not also, with our union with Christ, freely give us all things? Romans 8:33. Who will bring a successful charge against God's elect. And God's elect are all believers in Christ. That is a description of all believers in Christ. God the Father is the one who justifies. Romans 8:34, who is the one who condemns? And we learned who the one is who has the power to condemn. It is not Satan. Christ Jesus is he, the one who died. Yes, rather, he who was raised from the dead, he who was resurrected from the dead, he who is at the right hand of God the Father, sitting, because his work is finished, waiting for that moment when God the Father makes his enemies footstools for his feet. He who also intercedes for us. Now the next two verses are our verses of focus. Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the unconditional love of Christ? Or what will separate us? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword separate us from his unconditional love? Romans 8:36. Just as it is written, for your sake, we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Finishing up, the Apostle Paul is asking us, by the way, rhetorical questions in those passages. Now, finishing up with the final three verses, Romans 8:37. But in all these things, which means in every situation imaginable, we believers in Christ overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us unconditionally. Romans 8:38, for I, Paul, am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unconditional love of God the Father, which is for us through our union with Christ Jesus our Lord. So we pick up our study of the passage at verse 35a, the first part of the verse. Who will separate us from the unconditional love of Christ? And that is the Apostle Paul asking us a rhetorical question. Is there a who in all of the universe who can separate us from the unconditional love of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the who that attempts it is clearly Satan, the enemy of God, and the sponsor of disunity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we're encouraged to be sober, which means to always be on the alert, 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Satan's schemes promote disunity, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ's intention that his church, the collection of church-age believers, live in a state of unity, which is a oneness of mind and feeling, absolute harmony, agreement, a combining of the disparate parts into a single coherent whole. In John chapter 17, verse 15, the real Lord's Prayer, the Lord prays for his Father, to his Father for protection from Satan's attacks against unity. Here's what he says. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, do not ask you, Father, to take the believers in me out of the world. Please don't take them out of the fire. But I ask you to keep them from the evil one, to instead put a hedge of fire around them and protect them from the evil one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says this, we believers in Christ know that we are possessions of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Satan is the ruler of this world, as we know, and he is always concocting some kind of scheme to trip up believers. And from a Roman prison, while chained to a Roman guard as he awaited his trial, Paul reports on his daily activity of watching a Roman soldier gird himself for the battle. And Paul uses it as an apt analogy to the spiritual life and our need to protect ourselves from the enemy. And that enemy is Satan. Satan is the who, and his inside and outside agents, the world and the flesh, are the tools that he uses to get to us. So we'll take a short music break, and then we'll come back and investigate this analogy as we look at a passage that highlights it. Remember this, in spite of Satan's attacks, we can be happy. And that's the music break song. Welcome back. Today's lesson, let God gird you against the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is telling us how to gird ourselves. Let's start with verses 10 to 12. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, believers in Christ, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And we do that by taking advantage of the power of his inherent strength. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to utilize the Lord's person and all of his resources. Ephesians 6:11. Pick up and put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm. And that means to play defense, not offense, so that you'll be able to stand firm on defense against the schemes of the devil. As believers in Christ, we are not going to go on the offensive against the devil. We are not going to rebuke him. We're not going to do whatever else people in the tongues movement like doing against the devil. Nor are we to resist the devil in our human power. Instead, we're to pick up and to put on the power of God. And that is the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. And we are to hold the territory that has always also that has already been granted to us by the Lord. This is one of the things that I have always admired the government of Israel for. Every time you notice that there are these Middle East negotiations, the Jews have a certain amount of territory. And every time these negotiations happen, somebody's coming in and trying to take a piece of that territory. And they are absolutely adamant that they will not give up any of the territory. And I used to not really understand that. I thought, you know, why can't you bend a little bit? Why can't you? But that's not what we're encouraged to do as believers in Christ. The whole idea of resisting the devil with God's power is not to bend to his power at all. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, it's against the powers, it's against the world forces of this darkness. It's against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our struggle is not against human beings. Our struggle is not a physical contact. It is a conflict. It is a spiritual conflict. Our struggle is against a system that stacks the deck against us. Our struggle is against a system that has been in place on the planet since Satan was granted power by God to rule the planet. And that system's command center is in the heavenly places where Satan resides for now. And his minions on this planet, his demon army, his demon officers, his demon soldiers, are the guiding forces that attack the fortifications of the Lord here on earth. What fortifications? Churches teaching truth. Pastors teaching truth. And Christians who study the Word of God are God's fortifications that are under attack. And Satan attacks wherever authority exists, such as with husbands and with parents and with governments, to name a few. The world forces of this darkness seek to disrupt the enjoyment of our spiritual blessings. In John chapter 10, verse 10a, we're reminded of this. The thief Satan, the false shepherd in the analogy, comes only to steal the sheep who are believers in Christ and to kill them, to take them totally out of play, and to destroy every good thing that they have, including the spiritual blessings of unity. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, then Paul summarizes these first three verses of the passage. He says this, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Again, it's pick up and put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist. You will be able to play effective defense in the evil day. When is the evil day? Every day. And having done everything to stand firm. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17, the forms of protection are described. Ephesians chapter 6, 14, therefore, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier's belt held everything in place. It provided ease of movement. It tied everything together. For the Christian, that belt is freedom. It's the freedom that Christ gave us that set us free. And at the very base of Christians is the truth of the Word of God, which sets us free. And the Lord said to John, in John chapter 8, verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness is the Christian way of living. It is our sanctification. It is our life as believers in Christ. A life lived in a set-apart state that allows us to take advantage of the freedom. The Roman soldier's breastplate protected him from the flaming arrows of the enemy. In our case, against evil. And it allowed him to play defense against the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This verse is not a call to evangelism. Rather, it is a reminder concerning the foundation of Christianity, the gospel message. Our feet give us stability. Oh, Siri's talking to me. She said she doesn't understand the foundation of Christianity gospel. She just comes into my life randomly and says stuff to me. And it's not surprising that you don't understand Christianity. You're a machine. It's a beautiful thing. Evidently, I need to leave my phone in the car. That's beautiful. It is funny. It's disgusting. Yeah, that's right. It's the world. So our feet give us stability, and it's a reminder for Christians who are under attack to remember who is on their side. It calls us back to Romans chapter 8, verse 31, actually. What then shall we believers in Christ say when we're face to face with all these things? If God the Father is for us, and he is, who is ever going to be successful against us? Well, the answer is no one. Now back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all of these other things, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. By placing our faith, our absolute confidence in the object of our faith, our Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells us that there is nothing that we can't handle. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, finally, brethren, believers in Christ, whatsoever things are true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and there is, if there's anything worthy of praise, and there is, let your mind keep on dwelling on these things. That's the motto of Northwestern University. Whatsoever things are true, let your mind keep dwelling on these things. Now, the motto of Iowa, what is it? Fight, fight, fight for Iowa? I don't either. I just thought I'd bust you. This didn't sound as regal as that, I don't think. Yeah, there are a couple Latin words on your shield somewhere, I think. What? Yeah, should I ask Siri? Yeah. She'll probably know that. Nothing Christian. And remember this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Denny asked Android what the thing is. Yeah. Google it, man. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who keeps on strengthening me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For a Roman soldier, the helmet was the last piece of equipment he picked up and put on. Now, the helmets were not dry fit. Are you guys familiar with dry fit things? Nike has this material called dry fit, and it channels all the heat and the sweat away from your body. Yeah, this has been out for about 12 years, so I can understand why you wouldn't have heard of it. But these helmets were not dry fit. They were hot, they were heavy, and they were sweaty. And they were not easy to carry. So with the helmet of our salvation, we have absolute confidence of a future deliverance from evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But since we believers in Christ belong to the day of redemption," I love that. "But since we believers in Christ belong to the day of redemption," that day when our full salvation will be revealed, "let us be sober. Let us be at full attentiveness, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope, the absolute confidence of our so great salvation." A breastplate protects our vital parts. Satan has the world as his external force against us, a curriculum that completely surrounds us. He has the flesh as his internal force against us. So what God gave us is faith as our internal force against Satan and evil, and he gave us unconditional love as our external force against Satan and evil. And these are the weapons we are given to combat Satan and evil: faith and unconditional love. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Well, the helmet protects the head. Satan attacks our thinking and seeks to pervert it. He promotes a skewed view of the Lord's person, a distorted interpretation of his word, and an indifferent or antagonistic attitude toward all things spiritual. That's why there are so many people in the world today who just don't want to hear anything about quote-unquote religion. And what they really mean is they don't want to hear anything about God, and it's really a shame. Now, the sword in view in Ephesians 6:17, as it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword in view in the passage is the Machaira. It's the only offensive weapon in the Roman soldier's arsenal. And it was used for close fighting, and it was the most effective weapon of the day. It had a point for stabbing. It had two sharp edges for slashing. So most of the swords had one edge. And if you slashed with the slashing edge and you missed, you had to go back around and come up and slash again, which takes a lot of time. But with the Machaira, if you could stab, you stab. If you could slash, you slash. And if you couldn't, you could come back with a backhand and slash again. Very effective, close tactical weapon, still used in some military organizations on a much smaller scale. So the Word of God is such a weapon for Christians. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Again, the Machaira in view. "And it is piercing," the tip of the Machaira, a point, "even as far as the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and the Word of God is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart." And so here is one of the places where there is an acknowledgement of body, soul, and spirit being different. In this case, the only thing mentioned, though, soul and spirit. And there are very few places where you will see that distinction, but the Bible clearly makes it. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 10, the Lord Jesus Christ used the Word of God to assault every contention of Satan. The Lord said, "It is written." And here is an example from Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, "The tempter, Satan, came and said to the Lord Jesus Christ," who was starving, who had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before the Holy Spirit took him into this forum to be tempted, "If you are the Son of God," and of course you are, "command that these stones become bread." Matthew 4:4, "But the Lord answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread," that is physical food alone, "but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I feel so grateful that God has given us enemies, because their predictable attacks make us so much stronger. And I love seeing the difference pressure makes in our growth. I was thinking about that on the way in this morning. When you lift weights, it's called resistance training. Right? And what happens? Your muscle is pushing against a weight, and your muscle is having to resist it. And that weight is tearing down the muscle fibers in your muscles. And then the next day when you rest, they strengthen. That's the same exact thing that happens in the spiritual life. There is a difference that resistance and pressure makes in our growth. And when you learn to let God gird you against the enemy, you become the ultimate in perseverance. So just remember this as we close this first lesson today. God wants you. And so if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right now where you sit, you can make the most important decision of your life. Matthew chapter 22, verse 42 asks you to consider this. What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? Acts 16, 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Acts 4, 12, there's salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given to mankind by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation will be saved. Closing song, Trust His Heart.
God works all things for our good, though sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember you're never be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust Him. God is too good to be unkind. when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege and the opportunity of studying your word, and we thank you for all the things that you put in our lives to edify us, to give us pressure, and to make us strong, especially enemies. And we just thank you for always giving us a chance to focus on you and to focus in the light of eternity. And we just ask you to give us strength when things are tough, and give us the love that we require to meet every circumstance in life, and help us to keep our faith firmly placed in you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.